see if we can get that. Let's see, is that on?
Yes.
Okay, good. If this helps, terrific.
Do you want to speak? Do you want an echo?
I don't need an echo. I'm good either way.
Your sister told me to do that.
Oh, okay. You were. Good. It is definitely accurate that I believe that every year for the past many years, I always start speaking first over here. There are many different parts, many different areas that I speak in, but as I think people who've been here a number of years know, I have a particular affinity for Anshi Emes, for the rabbi, and a particular regard as well for the rabbi's father, Aleph Shalom. This is the shul that I learned Aleph Beis in, and I actually found out just this evening when I briefly crossed paths with my wife that this is the shul that inspired her to get into chinuch when she was in her teens, that there was a Talmud Torah here, and she wasn't sure. She was a year away from seminary, and she wasn't sure if she wanted to go into chinuch or not, and she taught over here for Anshi Emes' Talmud Torah in the 60s, and she enjoyed it to the point where she hasn't stopped in all those years. So really, my family has a particular hakaras hatayv to the shul here. Mazel tov to you on the expansion. If I would have been consulted, I would have said to put larger tables in the front. We just, Kenanahara, during Pesach, the amount of products grow, and as you know, some that we need, some that we don't. There's a few things I'd like to get into that change and are always evolving now. One thing is the acquisitions of kashrus agencies. The CRC bought a few years ago the Texas K, so when we find a Texas K on different products, they don't exist. That really is the CRC. There's a symbol K underlined, usually a heavy underline, that was a rabbi in Oregon who sold the business to Rabbi Teichman. That now is Rabbi Teichman's symbol as well. It's taking a bit to clean up some of the, there were four other people using it, but they've all agreed to stop. They had no right really to use it, and that now is really part of Kehillah. The Half Moon K no longer exists, although it exists in a symbol, but it's a symbol that's owned already for a couple of years by the OU. There is no Half Moon K office. There's no one to report to in the Half Moon K. All the people who work there who are still working there report to the OU because that's who owns the Half Moon K, so that every Half Moon K symbol that we have is fine because that's actually an OU symbol. This one's for the future, which often I'm a bit hesitant to mention, but I can mention it here. I believe people are accurate here. And that is the WK, which was also taken over by, it's from Canada. It's WK, a rather large WK, and under it there are numbers. All Canadian symbols, like the COR and the MK. The rabbi showed me tonight something from Trader Joe's with the MK. We'll always have numbers. That's for tracking. So obviously they're going to change product to product. They must, but it's for tracking purposes. It has nothing to do with kashrus per se. But the WK out of Edmonton, Canada, was purchased also by the OU and is on its way. They've gotten so far as all their cereals, Bingo K. They have many other products, but it's on an item-by-item basis. Not everything is yet there, but it is certainly on its way, and it is getting there.
Their
cereal line has been cleared completely. So if you find, usually you'll find in the health food section, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, even some Ralphs and other stores will have in their health section, the larger ones, and that all of their entire cereal line, even with grape juice, even with oil, those are recommended during the year with that. So that the mergers have been going on and will continue, much as the rest of the world. It's not really feasible to give a good hashgacha anymore for just a few products, unless it is a small little town. Generally speaking, it takes a lot of know-how. It takes a team. It takes rabbanim. It takes inspectors. It takes people who know the chemistry, the makeup, the ingredients, and so on. So that from a conscious point of view, that is really a good thing that is increasing. Sometimes we have, and again, this is contrary to the rumor that the Triangle K has not changed at all. The Triangle K is a little bit tricky. Drinks. I received a number of inquiries for some reason in the past couple of weeks, maybe before him. Yoo-hoo drinks are certified with a Triangle K, but really the CRC certifies it. The Triangle K certifies the fill, but there again we're having an issue because the fill is hot, and that's where we have an issue with it. But it's not really theirs. It really is coming from the CRC. It's being looked into now if there are any places that we could use it. There may be some regions of the country that it can be used. Some of the things that one nice change for Pesach is the last year we spoke about the you're back on the stripes, the stripes products. Stripes products was in a quasi gray area last year. All stripes products have gone back to the Huff K, and I looked today at a few markets, some had, some didn't have. I'd say about 70% did not have. The Huff K assures us in writing that all of the products on the market are under their hashgacha, and there's an awful lot of old packaging that they couldn't afford to get rid of, so that with the Huff K on it, without the Huff K on it, they stand behind it, and the products are Huff K. You'll find, of course, some of their products aren't. Some of their products are Chuchasim Sofer, Badat, things in particular from Israel they're getting from different Ashkochas. They have a couple of CRC products, but all of the things that they are giving any one of those Ashkochas are highly recommended. So those things are fine. Sometimes it gets a little bit confusing. This product is not kosher for Pesach, of course. It's Sri Rasha sauce. It's used a lot in with sushi and for some other as far as I know, of our sushi places here use this. On the other hand, and this is confusing, I had someone visit from New York and emailed, "Why do your places?" You told me that that place is a good hashgacha, but I saw them using the sauce, and I emailed and you said that hashgacha, which is the Diamond Shield K from Philadelphia, that I do not recommend, and a product like this needs a good hashgacha. The tricky thing about this is that on the bottom, ours, I emphasize ours, have a label on it, RCC. The RCC goes in and is doing a special run of it. That's a special run. That's a little bit dangerous, but that is what they're doing on it, and of course the RCC does an excellent job in kashrus, and therefore the product certainly is fine during the year, although of course not for Pesach. You may have heard recently about the fish issues, about fresh fish. As Rabbi Van told me today, it's not really relevant for most people because most of the fish apparently is not in the controversy of it. But at the moment, the RCC is taking that approach of worrying about the worms, and they're mostly alone in the world. I spoke to Rabbi Heinemann today, and he told me that was resolved at the time by the Mechaber hundreds of years ago. The OU, Rabbi Belsky, said the same thing, and I believe that, to my knowledge, all of the kashrus agencies in the world are taking that approach, but the RCC at the moment is looking into it further and seeing if there is an issue. So that's where, if you hear about fish, really that's the controversy, or that is what's out there at the moment. The Hebrew people tried for Purim, but it's under KSA, but it is not a beer that is certified for Pesach. It's close, and I've asked them why not. This one's with pomegranate juice, the other ones are from dates, and there certainly was a date beer, kosher, certified kosher of Pesach, OUP. They stopped making it because they said they couldn't make anybody drink it. But the but it can be done. It certainly can be kosher. The when it comes to tea and coffee, we're pretty much where we were last year. The this tea from Australia, a good hashgacha on the back of it, Australian hashgacha, with the olive, looks like an olive or a K on purpose, both, and with the circle around it, and that is fine. This is a geish luffin tea. That's what it's called. So this is a chamomile geish luffin tea, and that is, it doesn't say kosher lepesa, but it is quite fine. This is a wonderful product, Sterily. Sterily is made for washing vegetables, and it is it's quite effective. They guarantee. They actually say in their letter, if you go to Shemayim and there were bugs on it after you use this, it's their problem, not yours. So I guess they're really pretty sure of the product. Either that is going to be a long line in front of the badats. But they do make a special run for Pesach, and that one says on it, kosher lePesach. So you'd want to take a look and make sure whether it says it does exist, it's out there, but you definitely do want to have the special run. Another tea, a line that is all, as far as I can tell, at least 30 different types of tea, the Ora's Organics, O-R-A apostrophe S, Ora's Organics, and these are all Circle KP certified. Just about any type of a flavored tea that you can think of, they have with the OKP on it, and it's available in health food stores or in kosher stores, Cambridge, a few different ones are carrying it, so that's not too hard of a product to find. That has OKP on it. That one is specifically certified for Pesach, and it's quite good. It's a good certification, obviously. This is interesting. Hashachar HaOleh cocoa powder, 100% cocoa powder. Normally, cocoa powder doesn't need hashgacha for Pesach. If it's pure ground cocoa like Drost and Hershey, those are fine without hashgacha for Pesach. This one, though, has on it that it should not be used on Pesach. Specifically, the Hashgacha says not to use it. The Badat says only during the year and not for Pesach. Now, what they mean with that, though, is the same thing that they mean generally with many other products. The Badat is one of the premier Hashgachas in the world. And they're not saying that it contains chametz. They're not saying that it contains kidney oats. They're just saying we're not taking responsibility for this product for Pesach. They are extremely careful, and unless they go in and they clean out the machinery, they have a mashgiach to meeting, then they say, do I think it's kosher for Pesach? Yes. Am I willing to go ahead and to bet on it? No, so they won't. It's the same answer that I believe was very intelligent, was given to me tonight by the KSA on the evolution cut watermelon and cut fruits. They said, yes, it's cut in a separate room. Yes, there's a Mashkiach who comes occasionally to visit the plant. Yes, they stand behind it for during the year. But there's chametz in the next room over. And unless they would have a Mashkiach to meet it, they don't want to stand behind it and say that watermelon or cut fruit, cut mango, and so on can be used. Unlike frozen fruit that we know without citric acid and so on, just plain frozen fruit is fine for Pesach. Just frozen mango, frozen whatever it is, those are great for Pesach because that's all those companies do. They package a very large quantity of the product, and therefore that's all they do, and that's certainly quite fine. When it comes to quinoa, there isn't much of a right or wrong, but there definitely is what we need to be careful of. Some people want to look at quinoa as maybe sort of a kitnios. Keep in mind the kitnios, the legumes, are there's real kitnios, there's pseudo kitnios, and then there's something that just might a little bit confuse with kitnios. By that I mean kitnios, comes to beans and the like, they're corn, that's a kitnios. And therefore that enters into the machlokas and the Shulchan Aruch as to what the issue is. Maybe confusion, people will get confused with bread, cornbread, regular bread, and even though pure cornbread would be okay, they'll think regular bread, and therefore not. Or maybe it was because the sacks were stored together, one on top of the other, and there could be a spillover. That's the machlokas shach and the taz, and that's legitimate. That's the meaning of Ashkenazi. That's kitnios. Then there are things like cardamom, and there are things, cumin, a few different things, fennel seeds, that aren't. But they were put in the same processing areas. And those are okay if you check them. Not okay, and this the Mishnah Berurah mentions, if you don't check them. So therefore, you'll find Rabbi Teichman's Ashkachas, some other good Ashkachas, and some others, and yet you'll find them listed under the considered kitnios list. That's not an error or contradiction. Meaning considered kitnios until you show that it's not. It's considered contaminated is what it really means. It's not kitnios, but it's considered possibly contaminated until you check. And when you check, there are no cross-contaminations, then it's fine, absolutely fine to use. Obviously, we have things all year like that. We have beans, we have hummus, that in Eretz Yisrael, you have people sitting all day, the Mashkiach, over a barrel with the chickpeas and doing the witch test. And those that sink are innocent, those that float to the top, you kill and throw out. If they float to the top, it's like a Mexican jumping bean. It means that they have an air pocket. An air pocket is probably a worm in there, or the like. And that all day, if you look at a good Hashkacha in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, you'll see Mashkiach sitting in back, huge barrel with chickpeas, if it's a falafel stand, and constantly mixing them up and seeing what's going to float to the top and taking off all of those. So again, are they kosher chickpeas? Certainly, after you check them. Here, the Sukkot, a large company in Eretz Yisrael, this is white quinoa. And quinoa has been determined, quinoa is a grass that grows in the Himalayas. It's not a kitnios, it's not a legume, it's not a bean, it's not corn, it is a grass. But this one has, again, hashgacha on it. This can be a little bit confusing. On the one side it says, on the top, it's Eretz Yisrael. So you know you're going to start out with three hashgachas. Nothing over there goes with under three hashgachas. But you have, the first one is the badatz. That says, Raki Mosh Hashanah Lola Pesach. They really spell it out. Only during the year, not for Pesach. So they take a very strong stand because they don't promote or allow kitnios, the quinoa, period. On the other hand, under that, You have the Badat Beis Yosef, it's called Ashkocha. The Badat Beis Yosef, though, also is confusing. It says, Kosher LePesach LeOchle Kitnios. It's kosher Pesach. If you eat Kitnios, then it's okay. And then it says, very properly, the Svardic way, what the Mechaber says, and a person needs to check it three times. Because even Svardim who eat rice or anything else are supposed to check it three times. That's what the Mechaber says for anything foreign grains. Then this thing has, now that's so much for the Hebrew. Now it comes for the Goyim who read English. Kosher for Passover under the supervision of the chief rabbinate of Kiryat Israel. So that's the only place where it says it's kosher for Pesach, and it's the only one that is, in that way, has a hashgacha. In reality, we have different opinions. Generally speaking, most of our large kosher agencies say that it's fine. The Starkey has a long piece on why it's fine. The OU says they think it's fine, but ask your rabbi what your minhag is. Do you want to use it or don't want to use it? What everyone does agree, and that's why I listed that it's fine, but if you do use it, everyone agrees it can't be contaminated with foreign grains. So we do have the ancient harvest and Trader Joe's that are approved, both the Trader Joe's, their own brand, and the ancient harvest brand available in many, many different stores. That's all that they're doing in those companies, and that's the reason why those who use quinoa will want to use that type of quinoa and not another one. There is a product, gin, called Gin Number 209. It's made in Napa Valley. The first gin that we have that's certified kosher LePesach. We have had before, we have the agave product, which is kosher LePesach, the tequila. This has an OUP on it. And we have, of course, some different types of vodka and many other liqueurs. But now the gin has been added to that, but it does have to have and does have on it an OUP. It's a very recent product from a couple months ago. It'll probably be hard to find, but it is definitely out there. A couple of things to bear in mind, there's a honey called Zayit HaGolan with the Hechsher from Rabbi Rubin. Rabbi Rubin is outstanding. He used to be the head of the OU, he stopped, he's still with his own Ashkocha, and he is excellent. If you go there to Seoul, anytime in the future, you can go onto the site, onto kosherquest.org, and you'll find a few pages of recommended restaurants and food outlets and the list of the Ashkochs for Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbi Rubin's is probably the longest list and the best of Ashkochas there. The Badatz has much smaller, but Rabbi Rubin has a quite large expanded list. However, that particular product, the honey Zayit HaGolan, is fraudulent. He never gave Ashkocha on it. We're always concerned about honey having corn syrup in it, and therefore if you find it and it is exported to the United States, you definitely do not want that product. Grand Vin de Bordeaux has as well a fake OKP on it, and it's a sticker. That as well, you want to be careful that you avoid that. The RCC has been working very hard, you probably remember, on in Oxnard, growing vegetables that are insect-free. They've been highly successful. Rabbi Van has worked with them for quite a while in greenhouses and checking, and they had a difficulty at one point. They managed to overcome the difficulty with an infestation. They've learned from people in Eretz Yisrael who came here and tend to it, how to do it and how to do it bug-free. Obviously, everyone agrees. But no matter how well you check for bugs, there's nothing better than getting it first insect free. And they have mixed greens of all types and spinach and really pretty much the gamut of what we're looking for now. So that is something you can find only in the kosher stores, but they tell me that I spoke with them today that they made enough. They have enough for the community, not enough to go into Ralph's and Albertsons, enough to go into the kosher stores and a person can find it. Those things do need rinsing. Do not need checking. The rinsing is the same thing as the Le Katif and everything from Eretz Yisrael that was so good, and that is flies, just fruit flies that can land on it. That takes a second under a stream of water, and we're rid of the flies. As far as insects, as far as aphids and thrips and stuff, none of that. So again, that's really a nice type of a thing. The name of it, I don't even know if they have a name on it. Archer was the name of it. Just a large plastic bag with a huge RCC. The person did not want to put any name on it. I haven't seen it yet with a name other than that particular designation. The grape juices remain the same. Large glass, 6-4 ounce glass, still is often, almost always, non-mavushal, and you want to be careful of that. If serving to people who are not shomer mitzvahs or to non-Jews, other than that, all the plastic and all the small are mavushal, so that's not really an issue. Lactate pills. In general, I urge you to look at the CRC list. CRC, when I say CRC, there's two CRCs. There's Chassidische Hisachdus CRC. That's a large C, a large R, and a large C, all the same size in an oval. That's not the one I'm referring to. The one I'm referring to is a small C, large R, small C. Their site is crcweb.org. And they list, Rabbi Heinemann agrees, many agree, that lactate pills and medicines that are in a tablet or capsule form are always kosher for Pesach. Those are not an issue. The issue is things that we take, as the Gemara says, derech achila. The Gemara talks about that someone who stuffs something treif down a piece of chazer, down someone's throat, on Yom Kippur, did not do anything. Why? Because when the Torah says, don't eat treif, it says don't eat. Definition of eat is to put in the mouth, and there has to be at the very least what the Gemara calls hana'as grono, which is pleasure in a person's throat. A person has to taste it. The taste buds are there, the person tastes it, at least, if not in chewing. We know how people with a good wine first want to smell it and appreciate the bouquet, and it goes on and on until they finally get around and you're watching until somebody says, all right, drink it already. So that type of thing, if you go to the winery in Oxnard, it can be 10 minutes till somebody takes a sip. Here, the person who has no hanas grono just goes straight down, that's not called eating. That's the reason why capsules, when people are looking at capsules and pills, it's a much greater leniency. And when a person's looking at something that's chewable, liquid, that doesn't exist because now there's a taste and a flavor and so on. A person in that case always should ask the Rav for a shayla to see whether what their situation is, since it sometimes it's kidneys or sometimes it's chametz even that's allowed. Sometimes it has to be in different ways and so on. In the same way, lactate. Lactate milk, buying before Pesach, is no big deal because the teensy amount of lactate drop that's in, it's a drop, they put a liquid, but it's become bottled so many times over that we have way, way over 60, not an issue. That's already become bottled. So a person who needs it, that's not a problem. A person who wants drops, and not to use tablets of lactate. This I've mentioned in the past, a person can take a large not the small ones, a larger ice cube tray, one with larger openings, larger containers, and put in there something, Jell-O, applesauce, something, and put in the couple drops of the liquid of lactate before Pesach, and that makes a bottle. And even though emivat misul chatchila, a person who wants to put a little bit of milk into their cholent beforehand, and it'll be bottle. It's usher to do. We can't on purpose be involved with something, but for health like that, we are allowed to be involved with. So a person on purpose can do that. Just prepare what they need, figure it out, how many milk meals, how much do they need, they make that much pre-done, they can put it into little 3-ounce cups, whatever a person wants, and that's going to work just fine as well. We have Tums is something that I've received a number of emails about, because Tums is no longer appearing usually with the diamond K, which is a good Ashkocha on it. That's the printer's error. They had nothing to do with Ashkocha. The Ashkocha has not changed, and the plain peppermint ones, not the flavored colored ones, but the plain white ones, remain fine, and those can be used. They're just fine. When it comes to... I'm sorry? Yes, but not for Pesach. Not for Pesach. Those have some added sweeteners, not for Pesach. This product, the Bodek, these are broccoli cuts. Say on them, not all are like that, but say on them kosher or Pesach. They koshered. Normally there's an issue of the vegetables that are being blanched in pasta machinery. They have the same issue, but they kosher it. They make special runs for Pesach, and that's fine. The same thing with Golden Globe. They have things like the chopped spinach, also special hashgacha that is kosher lePesach. That's the way it goes with vegetables. It does need the special hashgacha. But again, as we mentioned before, that plain fruit without anything, just plain fruit, that's great. That's really not an issue. Sugar is interesting. I continue to advise that one should get any white granulated sugar that says on it pure cane. But the OU advises anything that says pure sugar. They don't feel that there's really, that it's in use in the United States, corn sugar. I still feel we have enough of it, so my recommendation would be, why not? It's easy to get. Of course, CNH and many others that say on them, and then we know for sure that it's a pure cane. The brown and light brown CNH remains kosher lePesach. It's not a problem. Keep in mind that the gold mill all-purpose flour is chametz gomer. It's not that we don't use it. And I shudder at the thought of a quote, Rav Machsher here in Southern California, who Erev Pesach called me and said, well, I use Heinz vinegar in all the products. That's got to be kosher for Pesach, isn't it? And they had all the food ready with the vinegar. So there are sometimes certain things that should be clear or not. The way flour should not be chametz. Obviously, flour is not chametz, or we couldn't have matzah. Matzah is made of flour. Flour and rocks, but this flour is bleached. It's bleached, and once they bleach it, it starts rising. That's it. This is chametz gomer. That's it. I don't sell personally chametz gomer. I don't own chametz gomer. There are some people who are machmir not to sell even chametz gomer. Since the sale is a bit of an unusual thing, we normally don't do sales like this on different things. So when it comes to mixtures or liquid or whiskeys, many people will sell it, but not chametz gomer. A product like this, if it would be in my house before Pesach, I'd throw it away, try to give it away to a non-Jew, but otherwise I would just throw it away. Again, that's chametz gomer. So if you can work your way down on it, then that's, of course, a better thing to do. Bamba has a nice sticker on it at Ralph's. It says Kosher LePesach, LeOchle Kitnios Bilvad, and they unfortunately have not so clear in some parts of it, but they do say only for those who eat Kitnios on Passover, which is really a nice thing of them to put it out there, and they say that would really be only for those Sephardim who do so. Hod HaGolan has, you'll find in Ralph, OUP, the OUP on their sliced turkey. And they have a number of different things. Most are OUP, but of course some right next to that, same company, are not. So you want to be careful if you're picking up this type of a product that you get the right ones. We still have an instant coffee maltodextrin. I've listed those that are not an issue. We have in decaf, same issue we've always had, which is the different methods of decaffeination, either water, Swiss method, or the traditional method of using a chametz catalyst. So that most decaf can't be used on Passover. On the other hand, there are a few that are listed. In particular, you have the Maxwell House, which is the Sanka that people have used over the years. And when it comes to an instant, they found that many have a maltodextrin added, even a regular. But the U-Ban does bear the OKP on it, as the Sanka does, and those are the easiest on instant. When it comes to a coffee maker, if the coffee maker was used for decaf, for anything that was chametz, it's not like an urn. Hot water urns, if you have a nice hot water urn, be it the type that many people have, they get a place like Brenko, that you the push type on top with a button, or the type with a little spigot on the bottom, a metal ones. Either of those, when they're only holding water all year, a person can just pour some hot water on the bottom spigot, make sure it's clean, and it's fine for Pesach. But that's not going to be true of a coffee maker. Coffee makers are too hard to clean, and if it was used for decaf and for things that have in them chametz during the year, it should not be used for Pesach. One should get a special one for Pesach. And there are the Starbucks coffee is OKP. There's a number. This was a different variety of theirs. There's a few others that I have over here as well. Seattle's Best has as well certified kosher for Pesach, and Landwehr, also available in major supermarkets, has the OUP on it as well, and it should have it, other than the few that I've listed. Not yes. It would have to be one of those coffees. It'd be odd because it would have to be one of those coffees without maltodextrin, one of those approved, like Henna and White House and so on. It's unlikely. There are two things that are worth getting, I think, for Pesach. One of those, if you like to grind your own coffee, that's a good thing. Although all beans, all nay, if you grind it and use it, then there's no maltodextrin in the beans. So if you're always grinding it, that's not a problem. But if you're buying ground fresh coffee, usually it'll have maltodextrin. What happens is the stuff just sticks together too much. So they microencapsulate the whole thing in the maltodextrin. It's a type of a sugar, doesn't hurt much, and you put it, the whole mess, into a spray dryer and let it come down at the same time. It coats each grain, and then they don't stick together. So that it really doesn't hurt it much, but for our purposes, it does. The other thing that I've mentioned that might be worth buying, if someone's heavy into using quinoa, and again, the uses are many. We only buy the Ancient Harvest and the Trader Joe's are pearls. They're not flakes, they're pearls. As pearls, which means they're round little pieces, you have to know how to cook quinoa. It doesn't cook like rice. One has to look up, you can find recipes. There are people who live on it. There are quinoa restaurants throughout the world. People are allergic to pastas and to rice, who love quinoa. But it can be used easily for cereal, for a hot cereal in the morning. It can be used for many, many things. If a person wants to make things out of it, it's worth investing the few dollars into a press, into a grinder. You can get a hand grinder and just pour it in, and you'll wind up with flour. And quinoa flour is fine to add water to it. There is no such thing as rising as 18 minutes or any of that type of stuff. Again, since it's grass. Talking about quinoa, when you're making your sushi, you have the Aussie salmon caviar with the OUP, and that should be able to go with it. As far as the wines that will go with that, most will have a good Ashkoch, except for the one I mentioned. There's really not much happening out there other than the Manischewitz remains, that it does have kosher lepesach and not. It is as marked correctly. The OU ones are not kosher lepesach. The OUP ones are the ones that are kosher lepesach. Another thing that can be confusing is in the winery in Oxnard, they have bottles that are given for wine tasting. Some of those bottles are not mevushel, and yet there are non-Jews handling them and giving out to the patrons to taste. Someone from Ohio was bothered by that because they liked it, they tasted it, they liked it. They ordered a case, it was sent to their home in Ohio, and then to their horror, they found that it was a non-mevushel. It says right on it, non-mevushel. And yet, they knew, and the person told them, that he was a professional taster, and he certainly was not Jewish. And they couldn't figure out why the place is supposed to be OU certified. It's a pretty good scandal in the making, but it wasn't at all. What they do is, in back, where there's a sealed door, you can look on that side with the barrels, the mashgichim take a small quantity and cook it. Make it mevushel. They take a small quantity of the non-mevushel wine and they're mevashel it, specific for the wine tasters to use for people to taste. The truth is, they're not tasting quite as good a wine as they're buying because it's now been cooked, it's been pasteurized. But in any case, it's far from a scandal. It's quite right and quite intelligent what they're doing. Certain things that don't need hashgacha. The same people brought us the Shabbos lamp and the pump have the kosher innovations. The Shabbos toothbrush that's guaranteed not to have no bleeding gums. You don't have to worry about that. No schita on it. No memorach of toothpaste. You can't use toothpaste, so I guess there won't be memorach on it. And you're not using a weekday toothbrush on Shabbos because this is one that's designated, it says on a Shabbos, so it's got to be only used on Shabbos. In any case, it's kosher lepesach. But that's on that one. There is a badatz one that does come with the toothpaste, that one has hashgacha kosher lepesach, and that's quite good. The Minute Maid and the other frozen concentrates that are grade A pure remain fine, and those are obviously one certainly good way to go. Blanchard has a gluten-free mustard, maybe used for Passover, OUP Parv. Keep in mind that it's not mustard, because we don't use mustard Ashkenazim. It is really an imitation mustard flavor. This has cottonseed oil, water, sugar, egg yolk, salt, Passover vinegar, xanthan gum, and some other junk that it won't fall apart. But that's it. It doesn't and can't have in it any sort of mustard. Something like a baby oil, a baby powder, or any brand of Vaseline. These things don't need Ashkocha for Pesach, nor do they is there anything to certify, it will always be quite fine. Same thing is with a scrub brush, that will be as well. When you see that, if you hear that Pepsi is certified CRCP, which it has to have it on the label, that's true. This is Sprite that's kosher LePesach. This is from New York. That's from Chicago. Seattle even said they're not making Pepsi this year. We have, as we've had in the past, Coke and only Coke on a large basis. We have Coke and Diet Coke, and that's it. We don't have caffeine-free. We don't have any variations. We don't have any of their other brands. We only have those two. The good thing is that it's very cheap, that they do have them at the same price that they put the other Coke. It's not the price is not raised when it comes to the supermarket. So that part's good. Splenda is not made kosher LePesach ever. So it's not one of those things. It's Sweet and Low, Special Run kosher LePesach. Sweetie has a company called Sweetie is made kosher LePesach. Needs Ashkocha on it, and without Ashkocha, it is does not have a chance. Again, this is the Sweetie product. Those that are Sweetie, you'll only find in kosher stores. The other one, the regular supermarkets, have Sweet and Low in packets, not in liquid. We did get years ago in liquid, but now this is all that we get. Don't even bother with the liquid ones because they don't make them. The plastic, styrofoam, paper, and so on, these are all fine. The Ralph's brand is fine. There's talk, I'll call it still, as to whether one should or shouldn't put hot food on the very cheap white plates. It certainly doesn't hurt as much. It's a better thing not to. It is possible that they are using a cornstarch as a stiffener, so it certainly wouldn't come to a chametz question, but it could come to a kidney question. Joyva continues with the Chavke, continues to allow them to make the product special for Pesach without their hashgacha on it. These are marshmallows that are made all year under the Chavke, and only for Pesach. That's the only time all year the Hashgacha goes back to Rabbi Scheinka. It's not because of the gelatin. The gelatin remains a kosher gelatin under Chavke. That's not because any other ingredient other than the corn syrup, that the corn syrup still is not something that we use, and Rabbi Scheinka is comfortable with it, so that's the reason they remove their Hashgacha for Pesach, and only for that time. Yeah. Baby wipes are quite easy to get. If you don't find an ethyl alcohol can be chametz. If you don't find an ethylene, or an ethyl alcohol in it, and many of them now come like the Huggies without any alcohol in it. Many people prefer not having alcohol near an infant, and therefore this it's fine. Doesn't need a shot for Pesach. Any of the brands will be just fine for that. Empire makes these large containers now, and you'll find though that it has on it that may be used for Passover, kosher Passover, it's got all over, still the OU and the KHJ. Empire always does now everything with the KHJ, and that works well. Unfortunately, because of what's happened with the Rabashkin, we don't have like a huge central type of a meat producer anymore. What's happened during this interval is that many small ones opened up here in L.A., in Denver, many different places. And it's just a matter of looking at the Ashgacha. But keep in mind that all raw fish, frozen or fresh, including at Costco, in those containers where they have salmon with an OU, not an OUP, an OU, those are fine for Pesach. They're raw fish. Any raw fish, any raw meat, any raw chicken, any type of poultry, those are always quite kosher LePesach. Sunsweet prunes are with a triangle KP and no flavoring are fine for Pesach. The same thing with the prune juice. The same thing with the sun-made raisins that, although one can find many different types, but the sun-made usually are the easiest with the triangle KP. That's quite fine and good for Pesach. There's hadar, again, mostly in kosher stores, a couple others have it, have chestnuts, either whole peeled chestnuts or either with the shell, without the shell. Either way, they bear the OUP. And these are already cooked chestnuts ready to go. Those are fine. Baby food, if it comes to a powder, Materna is about all we've got. If it comes to jars, Healthy Times has an OUP sometimes. Some of the beech nut still has an OUP on it. Some of the Gerber have an OUP on it. You just have to look. But they do need the hashgach. It is not sufficient that it is a fruit that is often cross-processed on machinery. It doesn't. And when it comes to the dry stuff, even the rice, which is fine for infants, being kidneyos is fine for infants, but it's not going to work. They say they do. I'm rather surprised by the companies that they're not worried about it, but they do cross-contaminate with the oatmeal. And therefore, it's a serious issue that we can't use. Yeah?
Prunes as well?
Yes and no. There are sun-made prunes that are with flavoring. They're not recommended. And those are just the prunes that are recommended. So you have to look. They certainly have the sunsweet are the normal ones that you would find that are okay. But again, you'd have to look and see which one it is that you're looking for. It's easy to see with ingredients. It would have to be without ingredients. There's nothing there. Keep in mind that citric acid is quite often chametz, so you don't even want the preservative of citric acid in there. Yeah. Cannot.
Cannot.
Well, oatmeal is chametz. The closest thing you have is Materna from Eretz Yisrael. The kosher stores I saw at Cambridge, a lot will have it. The different markets, the large markets do have Materna with a badatz kosher for Pesach. Should ask the Rav Shaima. Yeah, I think you'd want to ask. That's something you'd want to discuss and go through the process. And there are often different tailoring. With a pet, sometimes we sell it, but you may not want to do that. So in the case of a child, so you want to find a different heter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ceres, keep in mind that is a star KP all year, and that's a very fine drink. The chapsticks, unflavored. Flavored sometimes gets a little bit difficult, but the unflavored chapsticks are certainly fine. Fine for Pesach. The Osim again have mixed message, but the OUP on it is correct, as it is on many, many products. But the Half Moon K on Dole, which again I get during the year many questions about, there's a long line of great snacks for kids that Dole makes, different little plastic containers and other things that have the Half Moon K. Keep in mind again, that is an OU and it's quite recommended during the year. But for Pesach, none of it is. For Pesach, all that stuff has kidneys. This one used to be Dole crushed pineapple. Used to be that it was good. It's not anymore. They are sometimes putting in a citric acid, sometimes in a preservative, so it won't work. The real lemon and real lime are fine. That doesn't mean every product. That's the name of the product. Real lemon and real lime. And these have an OU, not an OUP. But I've looked now during this time, I've seen as much as about a dozen ingredients on some of the similar products, and many are issues, as well as sometimes from Israel, which has its own issues of Truma and Meisser and so on. But the company where every store carries of real lemon and real lime, that's certainly fine. The sweetened Nestea, instant, both are fine for Pesach. It only has an OU, nothing more, doesn't need it. It still is fine. No, I'm sorry, they're two types. They sell sweetened, and they have unsweetened. This one is a fine, no matter which type, rather the decaf. They don't have the sweet, they have decaf. Decaf and regular. That's what I'm referring to. The decaf and regular Nestea. It'll look like this, different caps. Those are both kosher. Yeah, the sweetened have flavoring, and that's where we get into a problem. Anything with flavoring needs a good hashgacha for Pesach. Salt, it's pretty much, we can just divide it into non-iodized and iodized. Because it doesn't matter if it's sea salt, if it's mine salt, or large salt, or kosher salt, and so on. If it says it had iodine added to it, that's a problem. It sticks on with corn syrup, no iodine added to it, then that's okay. So we always have to just look on what the glue agent was. The same thing is with cut nuts. You have slivered almonds, raw almonds. If the raw almonds are just raw almonds, they're fine. They're preserved with BHA, BHT. That's glued on, it says right on it, with corn syrup, and that becomes a problem. Pecans are the only exception to the rule. Whole pecans are fine without a shkocha for Pesach. But once they're slivered or halved, once they cut it, it releases a part in it that they do coat it so that it doesn't lose its potency. That's an issue. So if they're cut, they need hashgacha. If they're whole, they don't. Cut walnuts, cut almonds, and so on, slivered and cut into pieces, whatever it is, that's not an issue. Those do remain fine. The ubets, foxes, ubet, have a few different things. Follow carefully the plastic on top. It's the only way to tell. KD is a good hashgacha, Zellengold. Check the top though, and you'll see. Some of them will say kosher, some will say kosher LePesach, some will say kosher, some will only have the KD on them. But without that cellophane on top with the kosher LePesach, it can't be used. Any plastic is fine for Pesach in any form. Any aluminum is fine. Any soap is fine for Pesach. Any water is fine for Pesach. Any mineral water is fine. Sparkling water is fine. Not tonic water. Tonic water, and once it gets flavored, then, like we said, anything with flavoring all year needs hashgacha. Yeah. There is one, and it's hard to find that. There's actually, out of Taiwan, one that's made from wheat. And it's a theme. So most opposed can feel that even so, it's already changed in its form. However, we would normally avoid that on anything hot. They're in Taiwan, and Seattle, a small company, making plates that when you're done, than it used to be. Your mother would tell you, eat everything on your plate. Now it's eat your plate. And that's the point. They want it to be very green, very ecologically sound. So literally, when you're done eating, you're supposed to eat your plate, and now you finished everything. But if it's made out of wheat, and if it's made out of corn, we would not eat the plate. Again, aluminum is not an issue. Parchment paper is. Parchment paper is a conscious issue mostly, not a Pesach issue, but it needs hashgacha. Generally, the Chef Select, this is Geulah Chef Select, or the Reynolds, That's the easiest stuff to get. Every supermarket has the Reynolds. That stuff is OU certified, not OUP, doesn't need it, and it is definitely quite kosher for Pesach. That's not a problem for us to do. Parchment needs hashkocha, but not for Pesach. It doesn't need a pesach, but it needs a shkocha to make sure it's not coated with treif oils. The good news is, if you're traveling during Chol HaMoed on a plane, and you have one of those buckwheat pillows, they sell them in the airports, they have small little buckwheats in them, which is kitnios, if you hit turbulence, lechatchila you shouldn't eat the pillow. But it's certainly all right to use the pillow and to get comfortable with it. That's not us. But that is what they put in them. Sometimes I've had people who were afraid to use it. It's not wheat. It's buckwheat, which is kitnios, and it's not chametz. The honeys that don't need ashkocha, if it has ashkocha for Pesach, it's pretty simple. But if it's a honeycomb, that does not need hashkocha for Pesach. It's rather surprising that we're allowed to eat it, but the halacha goes through in Shulchan Aruch a great deal of trouble to explain why we're not worried about things like legs and stuff like that might be in the honeycomb. But it is definitely kosher. The halacha agrees it's kosher and kosher for Pesach. In the stores, the raw, unfiltered honey is also fine. It's raw, unfiltered, unprocessed. And the only one I know in our markets has a yellow label on it, a larger jar, and that one does not need a hashkocha for Pesach. But everything else does and should have hashkocha. The only Perrier that has the OKP is the one that didn't need it, and that's the unflavored. The flavored ones don't have it for a reason. And those shouldn't be used. I think that mostly covers. Marshmallows are not an issue much for us anymore. It's amazing that it's hard to find trace marshmallows now. Almost all the companies have gone. It's a wonderful thing over the years. They've gone to kosher fish gelatin, or a few are using a kosher beef gelatin, but they're using kosher gelatin. And that's not a problem. I've listed what to give to pets, but when it comes to pure things, like if it's pure jumbo krill, this is jumbo shrimp, or pure freeze-dried worms, someone emailed to me yesterday that very intelligent approach, their I think it was a parakeet, or their parrot. They would eat things, and they went through the whole list of legumes, of those kitnios, and gave it to the pet shop that was willing to make a special blend for them just for Pesach. And they wanted to make sure, and they had about 10 things on the list that they said would work well for the bird, and that's what they blended the pet shop, knowing basically a well-balanced diet. So it's possible, you know, we always keep in mind that kitnios is fine for animals, but basa b'cholov is not. Mostly an issue with cats and dogs. That basa b'cholov is never okay. That's not for the dog's sake, but I can't have any hana, I can't have any benefit from basa b'cholov. That's one of the surim of milk and meat mixtures. That one is so bad, that's asa b'hana, we can't have pleasure. Can't sell it, can't give it to an animal. And that in particular might be able to put it outside for an animal, but that's a machlokas. We certainly can't feed it to our animals. As we are well aware, we have a chiyuv to feed our animals. That's why we can't make kiddush until we feed our animals before we eat. So that's something to watch for. But otherwise, it's not an issue.
What about regular tuna?
Regular tuna has hydrolyzed vegetable protein in it always. It will always have the protein. And that will minimally be kitniyos. Usually, it won't usually be chametz, but it can be. It sometimes is derived from wheat, and it can be actual chametz added to it. So it has to be. There are many that are kosher l'Pesach, but it does have to be kosher l'Pesach. Oh, for pets. If it doesn't have any chametz listed, would have to know that the one in water, packed in water, if it doesn't list any vegetable, hydrolyzed vegetable protein or any protein added, would be okay for pets. But otherwise not. It shouldn't be used. I think that ought to do it. That certainly is a lot of products to buy. Remember, it's not an obligation to buy everything they're selling in the supermarket. So, whatever it is. Yes. Any questions? Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about them. Really, don't worry about them. The consensus of the major cautious agencies is that even if one washes the kid's mouth out with shampoo for some very bad thing, it's not roi l'achila. It's not meant to be roi l'achila. Mouthwash is something that we don't want to have chametz in. Kitniyos is okay. But shampoos, typically people like to refrain from shampoo that says made with beer, made with wheat, and so on. Halachically, that's a step beyond halacha. Emotionally, that's what many people do. But that's a step beyond halacha, because nobody says that that is roi l'achila, and things that are not roi l'achila are curiosity items, not halachic items. When there's someone brought up about charcoal briquettes, that there could be a chametz added to charcoal briquettes, can't make a barbecue with charcoal briquettes, that's of course halachic nonsense, because there's nothing, there's acid in it that's deadly. It's not at all a halachic food. As Rabbi Shah said of Sam Dapin Rabin Hashkocha, on poison one doesn't need Hashkocha. So that would not be the case. Yeah.
You said that you should throw away unopened flour. What about yeast and cereal, open boxes and cereal?
Yeast usually isn't chametz. Yeast usually is on molasses. It's just a yeast culture on molasses. But cereal, let's take, it depends what cereal. Cheerios, again, this is a chumrah. This isn't halacha one must do. But those who don't sell chametz would throw away the Cheerios and keep the cornflakes. Since the cornflakes are only kitniyos, and so are many of those types of things, and any rice-based one, or rice puff and so on, those would be fine. They're not a major issue. But the Cheerios specifically, and a few others like that, are chametz gomer.
And you sell your open yeast.
I haven't seen a chametz yeast in years.
If it's not chametz, you don't have to sell it, do you?
Correct. The Lipton iced tea bottles should not be used. Only the tea bags.
Okay. Yeah.
Bottles, we have a bottling issue on top of added preservatives and a lot of bottling. Once something hits bottling, it's quite fascinating, but often there's a heat process involved, and the machinery is so expensive, it's used for many, many things.
You know what, there are alternatives.
Pete's coffee, the regular, is kosher for Pesach, but Pete's coffee is certified KSA.
Okay.
Pete's coffee you'll find on the back of all of them, a KSA.
Can I buy Pete's coffee like in a coffee store, like Starbucks?
Starbucks won't sell Pete's coffee.
Pete's
coffee you can buy in a mall. Many of our malls carry Pete's coffee stores like Starbucks,
yes.
And you can buy in one of those stores during the year, not for Pesach. You most definitely can buy their thing. Again, it's kosher certified, and it's only beam. Let me explain something about this. tried to come out strongly against yogurt places where someone comes out and puts a sign saying, oh, you, and they'll pin it on, and Star K or OK, because the hashgacha is not from those companies. In that case, the hashgacha is from the Mexican worker, they're not from owner or other person who claims that that's what they're using. That doesn't help us at all. It's of no use, the fact that they are putting these things. The OK currently is suing Menchie's for putting up such a sign. But there are places like Häagen-Dazs, Baskin-Robbins, TCBY, and others like that. They use what they use, or they're closed. That, there we get into the tshuva, like what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says that obviously every person has to drink Chol V'Yisrael. That's a halacha, you have to drink Chol V'Yisrael. There is no, Chol V'Akum is aser. So how is it that so many from people, most from people, are drinking regular milk? Because regular milk, he says, is like, is not Chol V'Akum. Why? Because there's such a thing called an umdana, where you just, if that's the way it is. Why do we drink water without hashgacha? Because it's water. Why do we not think it's poison? Because it's not. There's a certain point where economic factors and stability make something to the way it is. We walk on the earth, assuming that it'll stay stable. We breathe the air, assuming that it's breathable, and so on. So, when something is an umdana, something is a chazaka, that's where it kicks in that it can be used. A store that says, I'm using this, why? Because I want to use it, it's a good brand. It needs hashgacha. Every product needs hashgacha. If the person is not a Shomer Shabbos person who is doing the hashgacha, somebody has to be Shomer Shabbos, do hashgacha, because that's the way the halacha works. On the other hand, if there's the facts tell us that that's what's being used, that serves as a de facto hashgacha. And that's the same as the milk and the juice and so on, many, many different things. So that if one has a store that is selling any product, let's say like coffee, the post can generally agree, the kashrutans throughout the world generally agree, person going to 7-Eleven, they can go on an airplane during the year, and they can drink coffee. Maybe they put something in the coffee. Maybe they did something there, but they don't. And it would imperil their license to operate. When we have enough factors that will make it not happen, then one isn't crazy and it's not going to happen. So that's often what one needs to determine on the difference between a franchise and not, and the particular situation. Yeah.
Two questions. Orange juice for Pesach that is not from concentrate.
We have fresh Tropicana with the kosher LePesach on it. It's a good idea because it's a processed item. It can, and therefore, even though Bittel and so on can help it, for us it's appropriate to buy that one.
Also, gentlemen, not the Pesach issue, but I've heard recently that problems with raisins in terms of worms.
That was one more of the cyber scares. There are kosher cyber scares, and that was one of them that was strongly looked into. And again, what happens is, and what happened in that case, and the case of fish, and the case of in the case of milk a few years ago, sometimes people are learning something, maybe in Daf Yomi, maybe otherwise, and they all of a sudden say, "Oh, this is a problem. There are problems with halacha. You can't eat worms. You can, there are worms and raisins." But the Taz talks about it. We're not talking about something now. We're talking about many of these shilas came up hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Some of them came up in the Gemara's time. And they were answered already. And they were answered when? We're not concerned with microscopic things. We're not concerned with certain types of worms. They used to have worms in the well. I've seen an incredible amount, maybe thousands, of small red worms in the mikveh of the Rizal in Tzfas when I went there one time. There are all sorts of halachas about how you can't drink water until you first pour it through a cheesecloth and make sure that you got all the worms out. But these things have been dealt with. That's what was found in the case of the Drosella, of the Drosella that were found in the raisins, and the again, when the dust settled, it was found not to be an issue. Okay. Yeah. Starbucks instant coffee has a maltodextrin issue and does not for Pesach. It's certified OU. Yeah. During the year. Okay.
Again, anyone would like to make out a contribution to KAB, it'd be wonderful.